You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There is no better reminder of what a diverse state we live in than contemplating the differences between the Upper Peninsula and the Lower Peninsula. A Grand Valley State University professor is spending his summer exploring the way Upers talk, crisscrossing the UP to record longtime residents. Will Rankinen is not only a professor at GVSU, he is a born and raised Uper. Will, welcome to Stateside.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So what's the idea behind this summer research project, besides the opportunity to visit some mighty beautiful spots across the Upper Peninsula?
Yes, indeed. It is definitely beautiful up here. I was born and raised in the UP myself, so my passion for the UP is very much grounded in the area. But in terms of why I'm doing research this particular summer is because I've done a significant amount of research in the area, but and then other colleagues, a colleague of mine, Kathleen Remlinger from Grand Valley State University, has just recently published her book called Uper Talk, and there's starting to develop a particular interest on how the way the speech patterns and trying to understand the speech patterns in the Upper Peninsula. However, we really don't know what exactly is happening across the UP. A lot of people have preconceived notions of what is stereotypically Uper, so to speak, if you want to use that term. Some people have negative feelings about that. Some people have positive feelings about it. But generally speaking, people don't really understand what is the diversity that is found up there. What are the similarities and differences? And that's essentially what I'm really trying to find out. I'm not after what is the right or wrong ways of producing language that is English up there, but I'm interested in looking at the similarities and differences across the UP, not just in one specific area.
So you are recording people? Do you have a script, or are you just conversing with people? Exactly how are you doing this?
Yes, it's a recorded interview, and it's anonymous. What's happening with the interview, it does take about an hour to an hour and a half of people's time. It's completely voluntary, and what's involved is it's a little atypical. It's not the typical Q&A question and answer interview from start to finish. In fact, there is a Q&A at the beginning and at the end of the interview, but this is a language study, so I'm actually getting participants to give me production data. That is, they read a reading passage, read a series of word lists. Then they also have to provide perception data. That is, they will listen to a series of sounds, speech sounds, and they have to decide what they think they hear based on a set of options. And then there are some other tasks that get after beliefs and attitudes about the way they think about their community, but also other areas in which people speak differently.
And I know you've got three regions that you're focusing on, the Michigan-Wisconsin border, the interior, and the Canadian border. What's the significance of those three zones?
Yeah, so, and that's not exhaustive. Obviously, there's this, you know, the central UP where, you know, Escanaba is not included, Manistique, St. Ignace, Munising. There are a number of handful of towns that could have been included in the study, but due to various factors, as well as resources, available resources, these three regions or six locations have been carefully chosen. One of the big reasons why these six were chosen was based on previous research that I personally have done in the Marquette County area. For my dissertation, that was published in 2014, I found that there was something going on, particularly among the Finnish and Italian Americans that I documented in the Marquette County, that showed that there might be Canadian-like influences in that area, particularly among the younger generation. Now, the question was that based on that research, was that a Canadian influence directly from Canada, or is it just a Canadian-like influence, but that was developing from within the community? So this particular research study is getting after that particular question. Is there a Canadian influence across the entire UP, or is it some sort of change that's happening across the UP in different communities? And so this particular study is really getting after that, looking at the Canadian border, towns nearby the Canadian border, then looking at other potential influences across the Michigan-Wisconsin border, and then looking at more of the interior UP.
Interesting. I'm talking with Grand Valley State University Professor Will Rankin about the study he's doing, research study on how Michiganders talk in the Upper Peninsula. He's spending his summer recording volunteers to get a sense of their speech. Can you help us, Will, since I'm going to call on the fact that you are, as you say, a born and bred Youper, how Michiganders talk? So can you give us a difference between downstate speech and how they would say it in Youper?
Yeah, not a problem. I mean, there are a number of ways of language that we could rely on. Vocabulary is a really good example of this. We'll just start with one. The word S-A-U-N-A, oftentimes people downstate will pronounce sauna.
Sauna, yes.
Sauna, yes. Up in the UP, however, historically, in terms of the literature, people have suggested strongly that the only way you can say it up in the UP is sauna.
Sauna, okay.
Sauna, yeah, ow. It's the ow. That first syllable is really, that first vowel in that syllable is really what you're after, and it's sauna. There's often a little bit of a duration difference there as well. But what we're really getting after is the American pronunciation and the Finnish pronunciation.
Yes.
The Finnish pronunciation is really what is kind of built and sustained within the particular UP. However, with that said, what I've been finding in my meanderings across the UP is that that may not be true, hold true across the entire UP. The UP itself, yes, particularly on the West End, where you have a very strong Finnish population and still a lot of Finnish pride, and you can still hear some Finnish being produced and whatnot, that pronunciation is very strong, the sauna.
But if you were over by the Canadian border, you might get something different.
Categorically, from what I'm hearing among people from the Newberry, that is the Luce County, or in the Sioux area, they will prefer the pronunciation of sauna. Now, what's interesting is that not everybody says sauna. In fact, there are some people that will definitely still produce the Finnish pronunciation. However, many of them will say that, well, I was told that I need to say it that way to pronounce it correctly. So there's this right and wrong sort of pressure that's sort of, if you want to be a Youper, you should say it sauna, not sauna. So there's these sorts of things that are going on, pressures that are from outside of the community and the pressures from within this community.
Well, I know you're still looking for volunteers, and I find it interesting you want the person to be a native English speaker, be a long-standing UP resident, only having spent less than 5 years away from that area, so you don't want them to have been tainted, if you will, and have a high school diploma and no more than a four-year degree, and no history of speech or hearing disorder. So if anyone is willing in these areas, you can go to Will's Facebook page, or you can email him. And we're going to put his contact address for you on the stateside page at michiganradio.org. And you'll be looking for volunteers throughout you're going through pretty much through the month of July.
Yes, pretty much through the month of July and part of August, beginning part of August.
Will Rankin, an interesting study, and we'll be interested to hear what you find and your conclusions once you kind of digest all of these hours of interviews. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Cynthia.